6 o'clock, sir. And need to establish a quorum. We're starting from my far left.
Don Greiner present.
Norm McClung present.
Douglas Ward here.
Gloria Fleming present.
Ronald Loves a present.
Okay, everybody's here. We have a quorum. Mr. Martinez, would you lead us in a Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Yes, sir, I will.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Commission, do we have any added agenda items for tonight?
Yeah, I want to talk about summer schedule.
What?
Summer.
Summer schedule?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll put that down to item number 9, other matters. Public comments? Anyone in the audience like to make any comments at this time? No? Okay. Approval of the meeting minutes for Wednesday, February 18th. Do we have any indiscrepancies or changes or additions? Alonzo? No?
None.
No? None for me?
No.
No? Okay. Then I'll ask for a motion to approve meeting minutes from February 18th.
I move that we approve the minutes.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor? Say aye.
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 That's passed. Number 7. Ordinance number 2015-03, an ordinance amending 2012-05, establishing medical marijuana dispensaries. And Mr. Adams, would you like to take over, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The city is now considering an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance to establish where medical marijuana facilities can be located and under what standards they can be located. Since the city council adopted the time, place, and manner ordinance last week, that dealt with the operations of medical marijuana dispensaries. Now we have to deal with the zoning ordinance. And before I get into the actual ordinance itself, I'd like to briefly review the staff report. This procedure is a legislative matter. We're amending the zoning ordinance, as you know. So we have a land use procedures ordinance that we have to follow, and as well as the zoning ordinance, as well as Oregon administrative rules. The ordinance is meant to comply with the medical marijuana law, which was passed just last year. We have in the drafting of the ordinance, we believe that we've met that law, the requirements of that law. We've also provided notice to DLCD and newspaper notice to the public. So again, this is a legislative matter, and the city is following all the procedural requirements to conduct a legislative hearing on amending the zoning ordinance. I'd like to go over a few things, a few specific objectives in the zoning ordinance, which I believe are pertinent to this particular case. And those would be located in Section 3, Community Development Objectives, Subsection B, Specific Objectives. Number 2, identify development that may adversely impact the city's desired community character and the health, safety, and welfare of its residents, and establish conditions to minimize impacts. Number 3, identify areas where growth is desired, where it is not desired, and establish site development standards to minimize impacts of growth on adjacent lands. That's exactly what we're doing with this proposed ordinance. basically identifying where medical marijuana dispensaries can be located and under what standards they can be located. In regards to the state planning goals, we've met them with regard to citizen involvement in the land use planning process. And so with that, I think we've met all the requirements, the state as well as the city processes for adoption of this ordinance. And the Planning Commission actually is going to make a recommendation to council which will adopt the ordinance. So at this point, we're recommending that you take public testimony, deliberate, and make a decision. We as staff are recommending that you do recommend it to council. We do have one minor change or issue that we'd like to bring up for your discussion. And you as well may have some issues with the way the ordinance is drafted. So if we could, just let's go through Exhibit A. The definitions. There's a definition of medical marijuana dispensary. It's pretty bland. It's basically identifying that as a facility that's been authorized under the Oregon Health Authority. Meets all the state statutes. So it's a very specific definition. The other definition that we have there is the building setback definition. We felt it had to be amended because there wasn't anything with regard to access easements. So we want to make sure that there's a setback not only to the property line, but to, in some cases, where there's an access easement. So that's what that does. And then if you look down at Amendment 2, we're getting into the heart of the matter here. Section 10, permitted uses. The way it reads now is, uses not specifically listed shall not be permitted. We're changing that to uses not specifically listed may be permitted pursuant to Section 16 of this ordinance. And what that Section 16 is essentially a similar use provision. So that if a use is similar to any other use that's listed, then we can interpret it to be allowed. The language that is already, that exists in the ordinance now, which basically says shall not be permitted, is very restricting. I've never seen it before, and it will cause great problems if we leave it in there. Then, under the commercial zone, we're adding medical marijuana dispensaries subject to the requirements of Section 12 again of this ordinance. And that's where the specific standards lie. As well as the traditional commercial zone, we're adding it to the list of allowed uses in the mixed-use commercial zone. Same thing, it would be allowed only subject to the requirements of Section 12N. Then we are in the forest and public facility zone. We're making a small change that was an oversight when the ordinance was originally drafted. As you can see, we're adding public schools because they are essentially where the public facility zones are, like the high school and such. And we want to make sure that the schools are recognized and allowed to be permitted in those zones, or in that zone in particular. Now we get to Amendment 3, which has to do with the medical marijuana dispensaries under 12N. And 12N is a completely new section of the code. Under 12 special uses, you see in your ordinance that there's a whole list of different things And we're just adding the medical marijuana dispensaries to that list. So under one, under procedures, basically the medical marijuana dispensaries shall obtain a zoning permit and or a site plan review as required by the zoning ordinance. So if they're, whether they're building a new building or if they're moving into an existing building and doing internal tenant improvements, they have to get a zoning permit. We have to review that use, make sure that they're, it's acceptable by the zoning ordinance, that they have enough parking and so on and so forth. And of course, if it's a brand new building, then we look at the whole site plan requirement. Then under two, we have additional approval criteria. And that has to do with, there are several of those. First, an application for a medical marijuana dispensary must have a current city business license at the time of the application, so they could submit those both simultaneously. Secondly, the applicant's proposal must demonstrate compliance or the ability to comply with appropriate conditions of approval with Ordinance 2015-02. That is the time, place, and material ordinance that the council adopted last week, having to do with operating characteristics. Then C, the third item, is a medical marijuana dispensary shall be set back at least 50 feet from the highway, Highway 97. I believe that was a specific request, if not the Planning Commission, maybe the council. I'm not sure who requested that.
Council.
Okay. And so that's in the ordinance here. So that means 50 feet from the highway right away, the property line. And just so you know, normally it's a 20-foot setback on the highway. It's now going to be 50 feet. And then D, the front facade shall not serve as an entrance to the medical marijuana dispensary.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
On this C, you've got 50 feet from Highway 97. Does that affect all a building, or is it just medical marijuana?
Just medical marijuana.
Thank you.
Yep. And then under D, the front facade shall not be not serve as the entrance to the medical marijuana dispensary. For purposes of this criterion, the front facade is any facade oriented towards the street highway, or the same facade that a majority of similarly oriented adjacent buildings use as their primary entrance. Now, this is one that I would like to talk to the commission about changing, because I have a problem with it. It's hard to interpret, therefore it's going to be hard to administer. As well, I think it's going to impose some substantial limitations on anybody trying to put in a medical marijuana facility.
What are they trying to say there?
I think what they're trying to say is, let's hide the entrance. You know, let's have it at the side, let's have it at the back. The problem, if you have it at the back, is some of these zones are butting up against residential zones. And now you're saying, let's have the entrance towards the residential zone. I don't think that was the intent. But they're looking to, you know, by the 50-foot and by this one, they're looking to not announce to the world that we've got medical marijuana facilities. You know, I mean, people that are going to use the facility or the dispensary are going to know where it is anyway. So, I mean, it doesn't really have to have a prime location, be out near the street, on one hand. On the other hand, I suppose, they could argue that they're commercial use and they should have the right to do that. But in this particular case, if you read the first sentence about the front facade, well, that's pretty clear. Shall not serve as the entrance. Okay, well, what is the front facade? Well, number one, it's the way it's defined here, it's anything that's oriented to the street. Okay, so here's the street, here's the front facade, it's oriented to the street. So it's not the side, not the back, it's the front. oriented to the street. Or, the second part of that says, the same facade as the majority of similarly oriented buildings as their primary entrance. So what does that mean? I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, it could be buildings with entrances on the side, buildings in a circle with entrances in the middle, like a mall or shopping center kind of thing. It's very difficult to interpret, and therefore difficult to administer. So what we're suggesting, let me just hand this out. Alright, what we're suggesting is just to, you know, for your consideration only, is an option. The language at the bottom there, the main public entrance shall not be visible or oriented to Highway 97 or Huntington Road unless the medical marijuana dispensary is located in an existing building that is more than 50 feet from the right-of-way, from a right-of-way. And you'll notice that it says existing building. So what I'm looking at here is there's a lot of existing buildings that are beyond 50 feet from the right-of-way of 97, including Aspen Alley. If you look at this, let's just look at an example. The south building of Aspen Alley that's oriented to the highway, all those doors are facing the highway. But it's close to 150 to 200 feet from that. So do you still want to enforce this particular limitation on building entrance? I don't think so. I think that in those cases that they're far enough back that they should be okay.
And but then if it was a new building, then they would have to go through the zoning process.
That's
and
right.
They would have to approve
whatever they decide. Right. They would have to put that entrance on the side or somehow disguise it or whatever.
Is there any specific reason that we decided that it should be on the side instead of the front facade like every other business had?
I guess the attorney drew, you know, you had to have the attorney draw it up, and I think there was, that's just kind of how he drew that. It was never our intent.
No.
Our intent, the council wanted to just make sure the buildings were 50 feet back. As far as, like the mayor told me, he says under that, if you took it to an extreme, which obviously this makes no sense, you could literally be a mile somewhere, but if your door faces the highway,
yeah.
You know, so the intent was not to have them along the highway, so the building had to be more than 50 feet back. There was really not an intent to have ones that are, you know, back somewhere. You could be back behind another building, but still it faces the highway.
Well, with the old language, even if you're in Aspen Alley, all the main entrances would be facing that way anyways.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't see why they couldn't have their entrances to facade. What difference does it make?
Their entrances, what was that, Don?
If I am in a new building, and I'm next to three other buildings in a row, or not even necessarily in a row, but they all open from the front door right out into their business area, why can't the medical marijuana building be the same way?
Well, it would be if it's an existing building.
Why? Yeah, for an existing building, that's correct. For new buildings,
it's going to follow the building.
All right, so I build a new one. What difference does it make? Why, if I build, we'll say a drugstore,
mm-hmm.
and we were all talking about this being drugs, so if that's the case, and I can put a foot entrance with the drugstore, as long as I meet the setbacks and everything, what is the difference between a drugstore and the medical marijuana? Why can't they be the same? That's what I'm asking.
Well, that's a good point.
Well, the reason is very simple. That's the way the council wants it.
Did they put that in?
No, I think
that's the way they want it.
No. Oh,
yes.
Oh. that would depend on what you're saying. All the questions he just asked, the council didn't get into how it faces the facade. They just simply wanted it not to be within 50. At 80 feet, they didn't care. Their thing was they wanted 50 feet from the highway.
Not caring which way it faced.
It doesn't matter. If it's 50 feet, you can't do it. But beyond that, that was what it was. So I think that as far as the questions Don's asking, it doesn't matter. Now, the council did not go into sentences of detail. They just said they'd like to see a buffer along the highway of 50 feet. Don't read any more into that, because they've never talked about it.
That's basically what I thought.
So the rules here get you back 200 and 300 feet. The council never said we want to go back 200 or 300 feet. So now the council will be able to review this when they get it next week. So just remember, that is the attorney wrote it. No one's ever reviewed it. Nobody. That's what your job is. No one, don't read it and say that's what somebody wanted. An attorney sitting in Bend did that. And we got it, and you get it. That's what your job is.
So, no, you could decide that the 50-foot setback is adequate. Or you could decide that, gee, we need some more limitations on the entrance here, whatever those may be. But.
Well, that's my opinion. It should, in my opinion, it should match other businesses close by, even if they're not joined.
Okay. Well, let me go through this a little bit with you here, and then you can get back to that discussion. So, the map here shows the green mixed-use commercial up on the north end of town, Wickiup. That's where they would be allowed. This is the, you can see the, is that Roslyn?
Yes.
Elementary school.
Question on that?
Pardon?
The only question I had on that is that my subdivision is included in that medical marijuana dispensary zoning.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, you mean here?
No,
right to the right.
In the green, oh, right there. You're right in the top corner, right? The right there. Okay. That's a residential subdivision, and it's been included in the medical marijuana zoning.
Okay.
That could be just a map error with the
county. That could be an error.
It's your residential zone.
I'm residential zone, yes.
And by ordinance, we're not doing it in the residential zone. So.
Okay. Well, then that would cover it.
Let me take a quick look here.
Well, because blue though.
I'm right there. This is right here. Yeah. Because I'm in the city. I'm in the city limits, but we're including that into the medical.
You are in the mixed use commercial.
It is mixed use commercial. That's,
yes, it is. So, at some point, if it's residential, we can change it. You know, but all I'm saying is basically what it is now, it's mixed use commercial, theoretically it would be allowed, but in a practical sense, nobody would propose it. Right.
They would have to buy it from Habitat.
Right. It's not going
to
happen.
There again would be the situation where the zoning, they would have to put in a new building. There's no existing buildings, right?
It's all houses.
It's houses.
Yeah, but they couldn't have it in a house.
No.
So you would still have to go through the zoning process.
Yeah, it's not practical that it's going to happen there, but that's a good point. It's miszoned and it should be corrected.
Well, we've got the same situation down below.
When we do some of our cleanups and zone changes and things,
So that's where it would be allowed, and these just show the buffers around the daycare and the school. And if we go on the south end of town, same thing, the green, showing where it could be allowed. Doesn't show up really well, but the 50-foot setback is shown on there, and I'll show you a little bit more. And then there's the buffers in the schools and the public library. So this is just showing part of Highway 87 where Huntington comes into 97, and then Foss and Forth. And again, this is just an example of existing development. That building there, that building, and probably not that building, are all within 50 feet of the right-of-way. So they wouldn't be allowed, in the future. this building, of course, that building, that building. Well, that building there has got a double frontage, so it may be 50 feet off of that, but it's not 50 feet off of that. So it just kind of shows you, you know, what's the potential and what's the limitations on somebody developing new buildings 50 feet back from the highway. So let's go to, and here's just another closer shot of the that south building there with all those different businesses and tenants in there. And that was the example I was using about, you know, it's so far back, it's even got some trees buffering it, that unless you're stopped here, you're not going to be able to see the front entrance. If you're driving by at 35, you're not going to be able to see it. And these are just pictures from the road that, again, are static. So you're not going to see these when you drive by in your car. And there's the building from the north side, and a little further south, and a little further south. So that's all I wanted to show you there. And we can come back to this. If you want me to go through the rest of the ordinance, or so the next section is three. Section 3, conditions of approval. And there it's pretty straightforward. These are A, the applicant shall obtain and present documentation of all applicable state approvals, registration, licensing, and permitting to the city within 6 months of zoning permit or site plan review approval. Medical marijuana dispensary shall keep all required registration, licensing, and permitting current. Dispensary shall keep all required city business license or other required permits current at all times. Dispensary shall remain compliant with ordinance number 215-02 and the applicable state laws governing medical marijuana dispensaries as they may be amended from time to time. And E, the applicant shall provide the city notice and applicable documentation from the state of any change and the person responsible for a medical marijuana dispensary or the suspension, loss, or forfeiture of any state approval, registration, licensing, or permit. And lastly, the zoning permit and or site plan review approval shall be void if any of the conditions of approval is met. So we think that this is a pretty good ordinance that we'll be able to control medical marijuana dispensaries, have them be located in the right place under the right conditions and the right standards. But again, the only concern that we have is that one provision relating to the entrance, the facade. So if you have other issues, certainly now would be a good time to talk about those. Questions or of me?
Under 3C.
Yes.
Why should we add to that and posted for the business licenses so that anybody that walks in can see that they're in compliance with the city licensing? Is that anything that's important?
Well, I mean, it could be, I guess, to let customers know that they're a legal operating business, but We have the ability to go demand those at any time because that's when the ordinance works.
Does that mean the other ordinance?
Well, this ordinance.
I don't have that because I don't actually have it.
The regular business license that we post.
Three.
On regular business license, they have to be posted, I believe, on the premises.
She'll yeah.
Keep all but business licenses in my office.
Yeah, it's got to be someplace on the premises, right?
Yeah. They all get your business license is required by everybody.
Right. And I think they said it required to be posted someplace on the premises.
Yeah, we
not necessarily where customers can see it.
We're not that worried about it. It's more of that we just know that they have it. That's how we can control.
It's Understand.
Okay.
All right. Patty, I forgot to mention that this is an open public hearing. Okay. Mr. Allen, do you have anything else to add?
No, I think you need to do something on the 50, on the frontage thing. But he gave some...
What about signs? Someone wanted to open a, like in Aspen Alley. There was one gentleman there that was planning on opening a dispensary. Where can he or can he put a sign advertising that he's there?
Yes, follow sign ordinance.
The sign ordinance provides that he can provide a wall sign there.
Their size requirements.
Yeah.
It's no different than any other.
On the building.
Yes.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing exterior.
Nothing on the highway.
What about,
well,
I think they don't want to go like that. It's, we have a sign ordinance is 50 pages thick, and it just tells them that is a strip mall. They have one sign, and everyone gets their little block in it. So that business, theoretically, but that's really, the sign is approved. He could put all of one person on it and take the restaurant off if he wanted to. I mean, we don't control that. The sign is approved, but most of them, you'll notice, they have like all the businesses on it. As far as him coming out and putting his own sign up, it's not his property. He couldn't do that. We would have to run it through, and we would just deny it.
So the sign is not in the setback for the 50-foot setback?
No.
Okay.
No. It'll just go in the sign that's there. And we can't control what's on a sign. So Deborah's, I think, over the years always told you that. We can't tell someone what words to use. But the buildings, it's going to go on. Then there's another set of rules that talk about each little individual spot can be, 3 feet by 4 feet, stuff like that.
What about the language or demographics on the sign? Remember, are they going to have a big old pot leaf that shows that, do we regulate what can be on the sign?
No.
Not right now.
No, we can't.
And I think, what I would say is maybe that's something we could work on if it becomes a problem. Because that's, that could take you a lot of work. We need to move on from marijuana.
Okay.
Is what we really need to do. I hate to say it. We got to get on to recreational marijuana. This is consuming our budget and our time, and it's time to move on. So, is there a marijuana leaf? I don't know.
Okay. Was there a reason why the setback, the entrance, the front facade was brought up?
No, they remember the attorneys did it.
Okay.
They all have their own opinions, and he's trying to describe, they're guessing what people want. Don't worry about why the attorney did it.
Okay.
It's 100% your decision. There is not, it was, as I said earlier, it was not from me, it wasn't from him, it wasn't from the mayor. They're just humans, and they throw it up, and you guys need to comment on it. And we're raising it as we think it's an issue that isn't going to work.
Well, we already have rules and regulations about where they can and cannot smoke in comparison to the front of the building or where the building's at. So to me, it would make no difference where the entrance was.
Exactly.
If you've got all these other regulations.
They can't smoke in front of the building. Yeah.
Anything else, Bill?
No, sir.
Anything else, Rick?
No.
All right.
Yeah.
Public comments from anyone?
Anything you want to?
I just want
to. You need to come up here.
Let's come up and take a chair. State your name and address, please. Press the red button on the microphone all the way down and speak into it.
Okay. I'm Devin Nell. I live at 206 Ward Street in Crescent, Oregon. I am Matt Tepfer's sister. We are the ones that are thinking about opening a dispensary in Aspen Alley. And I just, everything that's been said is great. I mean, I do agree with the 50-foot for sure. I mean, especially because I sit at Green Life Gardening every day and I see kids walk up and down the highway. So I definitely think having a setback is great. and the front facade, I think if we had it on the side or the back, it would be kind of drawing more attention in a way. Versus just having it as same as all the rest of the buildings. But I, just out of respect for the community, I know personally we don't plan on putting the pot leaves or anything on the signs. I mean, we're thinking subtle and simple, and we're not going to have anything even in the name that states what we do, really. We're planning on having respect for everybody in Lapine and not shoving it in their face. But, I think that especially, you know, the existing buildings, because where we are in Aspen Alley, if we were to use the back door, there's no parking back there, and there is houses right outside our back door. I mean, within just a few feet. So I think definitely on existing buildings, it'd be definitely a good idea to just use the entrance that everyone else uses. Because we're not right there on the highway, you know, can't be seen too much, but the 50 feet is definitely a plus, but I just, you know, I think it's definitely a good thing to let the existing buildings just stick with the front door access. But that's all I really wanted to say.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Can I ask you if you would, what's the name of your dispensary going to be called? Or?
The LLC we filed is High Desert Botanicals.
Okay.
High
Desert Botanicals.
Okay.
There's no dispensary or marijuana or anything in the name at all. We didn't want to put that out there and make everybody look at it. I mean, okay. The people who are coming to us will know where we are and what we're doing. No reason to broadcast it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone else like to make a comment? Mr. Martinez?
No, sir.
No? Okay, then I'll close the public comments portion of the public hearing, and we'll go into deliberations by the counselor. Starting with Donald, please.
I think I made my comments on that. On the entrance, anyway, there was, talked about the change in that.
So we're going to deal with two items, C and D, the 50-foot setback and the entrance to the buildings.
Yeah, I have no problem with anything, except I feel that the entrance should be at the front of the building if they so desire. My personal opinion.
Norman?
Same. The 50-foot setback's good, and the facade was after the 50-foot. If it's on the front, that's fine. Especially, of course, it's an existing building. It should match existing area. And it shouldn't be on the back of this. Unless it's, you know, like Aspen Alley, a bunch of them are on the side. That's fine, but nothing in the back.
Alonzo.
Well, I feel that we've already imposed so many regulations and criteria that they have to meet, that however they want to set the building and go out the front entrance would be fine with me, with the 50-foot setback and all the criteria that's already involved with the ordinance. I would say let them go into the front entrance.
Okay.
I would like to see that. I think this wording is good that they've come up with. And I'd like to see him change that. I do think the other D is very confusing, and I think this simplifies it and still says what we want to say. So I agree with it.
Okay, well, I agree with the 50 feet. I think that's absolutely necessary. I think section D ought to be thrown out and rewritten to what Bill has presented to us already, although I think it would only be fair if someone built a new building that they'd be allowed to use the front entrance. I think that's only fair.
Does it actually say
that
if it's different?
Yeah,
yeah.
Past
the 50. No, yeah, well, that's what this says.
It just refers to existing.
That's what I get out of that.
Yeah.
Take out
existing. It's under past 50 feet. Yeah. They're fine to go whatever.
We can take out the word existing, just say the building. It doesn't matter if it's new or old. Because The thing is, a rental building is going to be lots of things over its life. Yeah. And they build it however it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And tenants will come and go. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can't hardly build one to face a certain way. Because, again,
yeah, it's true.
You know.
So in the rewording, take out existing?
Okay. That way it takes care of
both, yeah.
What you want,
Do we need to have a motion to pass on to the city council?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then for ordinance 2015-03, we would like to approve, as written, except for section 2, number D, where we can change that as to the recommendation given to us by Mr. Adams, and send that on to the council if it's approved. Go ahead.
Well, with the exception that you're taking out the word existing.
Yes,
before building.
Taking out the word existing.
Make sure that's part of your motion. Okay.
All right. Any further deliberation? Then we'll have a roll call vote. If you can, please.
Don Reiner, aye.
Norm McClellan, aye.
Douglas Ward, aye.
Lori Fleming, aye.
Rolando Alonso, aye.
All right, that is approved unanimously. I'll now close the public hearing and go to section 8, review the site plan for the Pine Haven mixed use development neighborhood.
Mr. Chairman, I believe I handed out to you a cover memo with a couple of documents. I think one was an email chain from Mike Sipkus and the developer Bob Crone, and then the second piece of documentation was the memorandum from George Kalb, the county engineer. That particular memorandum on the traffic issues and that memorandum from George Kalb caught Mr. Crone by surprise, and he called me this afternoon and said that he would not be coming to tonight's meeting. Wished to apologize to the commission, but he's got to go back to square one and meet with his owner and traffic engineer and maybe sit down with the county and try to figure out what do we need to do to meet somewhere in the middle, because yeah, I really threw him for a loop, and it required the county's memo basically is going to require a lot of improvements, very expensive improvements. Two-way left turn lane on Huntington, improvements to all the frontages, Memorial, Coach. So that he needs to figure out what that means and what it's going to cost and where he's going to go with the project. So it's kind of put on hold at this particular time. So we hope that it will come back in some form, because you know, I think it's a good project in, with respect to low-income housing, which is needed in the community. But right now, he's got to go back and find out where he needs to be.
What's your feeling on these suggestions of changes?
Oh, from the county?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had a chance to digest them that much, but I think...
Who did those come from?
I think those are standard requirements. And a lot of them stem from the traffic engineer's report, the traffic impact statement. You know, the statement that, I don't know, it was 30 pages or something, but...
I haven't seen them. Do I have those?
You have
them. What's yeah. Who did that come from?
Came from Ferguson.
Ferguson.
Yeah, Ferguson Transportation Engineers.
Yeah. Right.
And in that, they talk about how many trips there's going to be generated, yeah. Where the trips are going and coming from, and so on and so forth. And out of that, then, the engineer determines what needs to be improved. And, you know, it's not atypical for a development like this. It's a pretty substantial development on 8 acres, and so it's a lot of housing units. To be required to bring up the streets to standard, that's not atypical. I think they're finding it difficult because they're trying to keep a low-income housing model, and that's something they're going to have to deal with.
The fact that this is planned on doing in stages, I mean, a lot of these things, they don't have to be addressed immediately, right? I mean, can they start
well, that's
on
a good,
it?
That's a very good point, and perhaps the improvements could be done in stages. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's what he needs to sit down and go over this with the county engineer, figure it all out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I was under the impression that they had already met with the county on that, on this traffic, you know?
No.
That's the questions we all had.
Yeah.
The only real questions were about traffic and parking.
Because I didn't see any big concerns.
Right.
I read
well,
it,
so. As a matter of fact, when we did the zone change, the traffic was brought up as a criteria.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was felt that it was not too burdensome.
Right.
You know that it would take place within the existing system, that our transportation system plan. Plan for it adequately, but the reality is when you have a development that generates that, and that road is not up to standard, they've got to bring it up to standard.
Huntington is a county road, right?
Yeah, either immediately or over stages, you know, phases.
About Coach Road? Is that a county road also?
Same thing, yeah, Memorial, Coach.
Yep. I think they have, he said, they have two driveways on the Huntington, and they probably only want one. You have entrances. You know, all those things. You maybe could get it, where you just put a left turn lane at Memorial, is it? You know, and then people come in off the side. You know, those are all, like he says, every company has to do these, get an engineer's report that shows how much traffic, and, you know, what's generated, and, you know.
Well, I had a concern in stage five. See, I kind of broke it down too, but I did have a concern in stage five as far as fire. I mean, did they bring in the fire department on these too?
Oh, yes, yes. In fact, they're talking about sprinkling the whole building.
Okay.
Which addresses a lot of fire issues.
Well, as far as getting out, like if you were in stage five, the last group, it would be hard to get a vehicle in and out, you know, to escape. So I don't know. That's the only concern I really had. But,
well, they actually, Rick and I met with them quite a few months ago, and initially we had some problems with the site plan. It didn't address parking. It didn't address landscaping. Any kind of amenities and those kind of things. And since he's gone back and redid it, I felt like he made quite a bit of improvement. But the traffic issue still remains. The road needs to be brought up.
Yeah.
At what point and what time, you know, I don't know. That's up to them and the county engineer. So we will bring this back to you when and if they make their changes.
Another book, right?
Yeah.
That was a lot of data.
Well, you know, it's been a little bit for a project that size, maybe some sophistication level hasn't been there from day one. Mm. And so when you try to come in a little weak, it continues. And, you know, these kind of projects, there's no easy, cheap, sloppy way to get there.
Well, I do know there's a lot of people working really hard to get it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's not a community project. It's a private developer who's hired who he wanted, and that's what they're doing. I mean, everyone knows that they have to address the traffic and the traffic. And then you sit down and you meet with them. And you talk about it, you know, before you come here. But I think people are always racing to come here, and these things can take a year or two before they ever come here behind the scenes. I mean, and so, like the fire emails were just in the last few days. There's just lots of things that I think are at play here, and they're not approving a low income building. You're approving an apartment complex.
That's right.
No one knows whether it's going to be low income or high income. See, that's nice to make a presentation, but there's no requirement in this approval that it's low income. We have no requirement. They have no idea if it's going to be low income. So don't get caught up in that. That's just saying that's their desire. But it's not in the approvals that you can only build this if it's, you know, people of a certain income level. Once it's approved, you can rent it to anyone you want.
Well, when they first presented it, I mean, they talked about having caps on the rentals and things.
That's all just talk.
Yeah.
It's not a requirement.
They're basing it on their costs, what the rent's going to be.
I mean, you take them at their word. I'm just saying, is it from a pure legal standpoint, which is really how we all work?
You're right.
It does not have to be low income under any circumstance. It can be Don Gray or high income.
That's the wrong person there.
She's laughing.
And I mean, they're hunting for, you know, what they do is their goal has been to do that and then find financing. And he says that a lot, doesn't he? He's going to get it financed by the state of Oregon.
Yeah.
They're looking for the state of Oregon to help finance it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
None of that's been approved at all. So, and I've worked with those kind of Housing Works projects a couple times, actually, with the Housing Works. And, you know, they get money from the state and the feds. And this process is different.
It's similar to putting up the two buildings for up next to the senior center there, isn't it, the process?
Basically, yeah. And
you
know,
have to get the approval from all of the agencies to get those up, and the loans have to be approved by the state or whoever's going to do it.
You know, I think a normal process, I'm not saying, but you can, again, you can do any process you want. You may be successful, you may have delays or problems. It's not up to us to control how people do things. Normally, I think you would make sure it's zoned right, of course. You would then draft up your plans. You'd come up with financial pro formas of, you know, what the rents are going to be, how much you're willing to put down. Then you go get financed. You get the commitments from the state and everyone. And then they would come to more specific, detailed stuff. And so here, they're coming here for approval, yet it's not actually financed. That process could take a year or two.
Oh, wow.
Well, then our approval is only good for a year. You could ask then for an extension. So this is a little out of order, I think. But if he was sitting here, he can argue with that. That's his project, and he can do any order he wants. And this is the order that they've chosen. But it does...
Well, on the senior housing, too, didn't they come to the council and ask for some kind of tax breaks or something?
Yes. Yeah.
So on if it came under affordable housing, would they get the same type of, you know, would they come to the council for those sort of things, too?
Depends on the program, but you're right. The Little Deschutes Lodge, both phase one and phase two had to come here. I think Kitty was mayor when the first phase came, and I think the second phase came since then. They did, and each taxing jurisdiction has to decide those and waive them. So, obviously, if you start adding on an off-site, you spend $250,000 or $500,000 on off-site improvements, call it, you know, you divide it by 70 units, you're adding $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a unit. So it is a numbers game that will make it play. But that's why people choose, that's why you do a lot of that stuff before you choose a piece of land. Yeah. And those are all the pieces. Yeah. There's a lot of land that no one will ever buy because they say the off-site stuff's too expensive. When we were looking with the hospital the other day, we're looking at various properties, and we'd say this one's going to need 200 feet of sewer line, this one needs none. This, you know, those are all the issues that people look at. That's all kind of worked out in the pro forma. Then you're going to say this is a $6 million project and I'm building 70 units. This is the math. This is how much I can put down. You go out and you start shopping it to banks and or the state of Oregon and see if it all works. That is kind of how you would normally do this. So I just think there's some steps that have kind of missed or been rushed or...
Well, the fact is we so need some... any kind of housing, you know, rentals here.
Yeah.
So,
You know, I think that the cost of these are going to be fairly expensive, and it's going to be hard to make it kind of, you know, the most generically, how many most affordable housing doesn't have two-car garages? Because the cost of a garage raises the cost too much. He's going to put fire sprinklers in them. He told you that's a couple, $3,000 a unit. And so I just don't know how this all adds up. You know, most apartment buildings don't have garages. The only ones that traditionally have garages are condo types. I can tell you in Madrid, there isn't an apartment building other than ones that are people with higher incomes that have garages. You know, there's fourplexes.
A back alley like some of the other ones.
Yeah.
You know, you handed us off something about the Mid-Oregon Credit Union, too, which is close to that area there. How much of these highway or building improvements on the road would they be required to do if they proceed?
So far, none.
Well, their frontage is up to standard.
It is.
So they're not being required to upgrade. And the traffic that's generated there is within limits to where they don't need to put in an additional left turn lane or anything like that. No signalization. So they're good to go. The county actually made the improvements some years ago. I don't remember.
There's no left turn lanes.
No, but I mean there's sidewalks and the pavement width is all there. So that's good to go.
And their traffic pattern is probably very slight, really. You know,
I believe it is.
Basically, they figure, I don't know what it says in the book, but it seems like they figure on houses, it's 10 trips. 10 trips per day, I believe, is the number. So if you have 70 units, that's 700 trips per day. You know, on one hand, you look at it, if you think about it, divide over 24 hours, you know, what's another 10 or 15 cars in an hour? You wouldn't notice it if you were standing there. I mean, really, if you're standing
What they look at is the peak. The PM peak, which is probably going to be about 70 to 100 cars per hour at the PM peak.
I'm trying to turn left. So when you try to turn left, put your blinker on, what does everyone else have to do? Stop on Huntington. And that's what the county's trying to avoid. So at 5 o'clock, and you got 20, 30 cars in that hour wanting to come in, they come to a complete stop, have to wait. So they require a left turn lane. Again, that's all usually plotted out. So if you went down to just one corner, say at Memorial, you put in a left turn lane and all your entrances and exits are, so that businesses usually try to plot it, but they've got two on there. And just all those.
Well, usually Huntington Road a lot like we do, there's a lot of times that we'll come out and want to turn onto Huntington Road and there'll be maybe 14, 15 cars between the two going, and you sit there for maybe a full minute before you could get out. So, I mean, there is a lot of traffic on that route. And this is even during the middle of the day, not just at the peak hour.
We tried getting into the post office during the middle of the day.
Yeah.
You got the cars coming out of Bi-Mart, all of them just funnel. They come in so fast, they don't allow you to get in.
The whole way along? I don't know.
There is, of course, a left turn lane down at First Street, the one road in if you're coming in off of Couch. I mean, the other thing is you don't come out onto Huntington. See, you do have a signalized intersection already. If the designers wanted to kind of change how you do it, you know, you come in, the entrance to the property is off of Couch. You know, lots of businesses don't have two streets to come in on, and that road does have a traffic signal already sitting out there at Ace Hardware. So it's a signalized left turn lane intersection. See? But we didn't design it.
Is there a tentative start date on the credit union? Have they said when they're going to do this?
Soon.
Yeah, I think it's real soon. They're looking.
This year?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
We just happened, I wanted you to see That, you got, some of you got that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just to kind of give an idea, this is the kind of a site plan, you know, process that's you know, pretty normal, you know.
Preliminary.
And we had a preliminary, we got two.
We've had a couple of meetings with these folks, and they're getting pretty close to the end as far as their design goes and their site layout. So Rick and I have been talking with them quite a bit.
Yeah, so they came down, and we had the fire chief in, we had the county in, and, you know, we talk about landscaping, we talk about how you're going to take care of water. They go back and redraw it, and, you know, all of that. And so.
On the housing development here, the way I see this, it looks like they provided for two cars per unit, residential cars per unit. Is that how
yes.
I'm looking at this?
Correct.
And no on-street parking?
Well, I believe they have some tuck-away parking areas. But no, that particular road is a private road. It's too narrow to have parking on.
Now, isn't that going to cause the same problem we've got out at Huntington Meadows?
Well, not if we have guest parking areas.
Yes, on street parking.
And no, he doesn't have on street.
I thought.
No.
Yeah. I thought they
were. No. 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 We're talking about tuck away parking areas.
I'm talking about residential parking.
Yeah.
Most generally, there's
two cars.
Going to be two cars per unit.
Right. Well, okay. That's a minimum.
And what is everybody else going to park?
If you look, he's got what I call tuck-away parking. He's extended the street into the side yard to allow these parallel parking along the street.
Yeah.
It's not typical street side parking, but.
Yeah, in several places.
Yeah,
one,
see it?
Two, three,
yeah.
Four, five.
This
six.
Is regular parallel parking.
And yeah, there are several places where that is.
He added that.
Yep. Well, we insisted on it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, otherwise he didn't have enough parking.
But your comments are well taken. Go ahead, C2O. Come on. Let's take another parking. Here. I think if you look at the north south road, there's a whole bunch of on street parking. So it'll kind of take care of some. I think your issues are going to be in these cul-de-sac. Because the cul-de-sac does a couple things. You bunch up the houses because you're on a circle. So you've got more units down here, and then you've got several fourplexes and none. So the point that Doug brings up, you're going to end up with potentially,
yeah.
when someone has a party mm-hmm. or a company, they will have to block out in the road because they're not walking clear from over here. Again, that's not going to happen. They're not coming from over here through people's yards. So yeah, that's
one tire on the grass and one tire on the road.
Yeah, that's exactly what they'll park up over the top of the sidewalks.
Yeah.
So they got some work to do.
Well,
yeah.
And it looks like they only do sidewalks on one side. They didn't do them on both sides. So, you know, people from here cross the street and walk.
These here, you have room for if they had two cars.
Yes.
There'll be two cars in their garage, and they could possibly have two cars parked in the driveway. If you'd limit it to four cars in their area of this cul-de-sac, is that correct?
Well, correct, theoretically.
Yeah. Yeah. If you could get them to do that.
Yeah, if you could. There's nothing to say that they have to park their car in the garage either.
Most people have stuff in their garage.
Maybe they just have all their toys in the garage, and they don't have any room for their car.
So, and you have to realize with the way people are doing it now. I just was on the river with fire marshals and fire chiefs for the weekend, and we talked about, you know, some of the planning and zoning things that they go through. And, you know, we were commenting about how people think about this parking business, because now people are all sharing because of the rents. Mm-hmm. More so than ever, people are renting sharing. So realize that every time you get, say, a three-bedroom apartment, literally could have called three guys have rented it together. And each one's got a car. And then each one has a friend visiting.
Each one has stuff.
And each one has stuff. So the garage is full. And that's what you have over in the cul-de-sac over by Midstate, where it's all duplexes. And it has no parking except what's in the driveways. And if you go there, it's full of cars, half hanging off. So, See, if you look at an apartment building, I mean, this is kind of an apartment building. It almost makes you think it's condos or a private. Each one is a tax lot. If you look at the design.
No,
the way they've done it.
It's more of an apartment look or even a condo look. It's not like a townhouse look. But.
Right. Mm-hmm. See, most apartment buildings, if you're building especially affordable, you all have been to apartments. You come in an entrance, and then it's all parking, and you've got a building here and a building here and a building here, and it's what you call shared parking. In other words, if you've got 30 units, there may be 60 spaces. They're all over. If you think about it, it's like going over to the grocery store. You don't have an assigned spot. But when it's in front of your garage, that's like ownership. I can't go park in front of Kitty's garage. See? But in a normal apartment building, I pull in and the next two are vacant. And when I come visit, I pull in next to my buddies. Because they're not assigned. They're not limited life. Start thinking about going to an apartment complex. That's what an apartment complex is generally. It's shared parking. And then sometimes they'll have an area, if they're going to give everyone one space with a number, then they'll have a bunch that have no numbers, and those are the overflow. And then if one person is single, hey, you get a little extra space. The next person has three cars, and that's kind of how it works. But these are almost like home ownership, because you're lighting them along a road, and you can only park in front of the one you rented. You can't park next door even if they're gone, because that's their house. And when they come home, they want to pull in their garage.
Yeah.
See? So it's a little different. And in fact, everyone that looks at this thinks it's 50-foot lots with fourplexes or something. I mean, you know, you can do it this way, and higher-end places do it this way. Again, it's more of that individual type thing. And lower this, you can go study this, but the type of facility you build dictates also the amount of cars and stuff. If you are in a $1 million condo, you probably have less stuff, and you may have less cars.
Or you park them in a private garage
or
somewhere.
You know, what I'm saying is you have a storage shed for your extra stuff.
Yep.
You can afford to keep things fixed, running. You know what I'm saying? If you have less financial means, you're stuck a little bit. You've got the car that hasn't ran in 6 months. It's still with you. But you have to get one that does. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Trying to be very
tech.
PC. But that's a flat kind of demographic fact.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have anything more from you two? Notice up to here already.
Yes.
Yeah, good job. All right. Other matters, number 9. What did you have about summer vacation?
Well, I'm not going to be here next month. We're leaving on the 28th, and won't be back until the 20th or so of May. But I wondered, usually we don't meet, but I know there's a couple of things that are coming up that we have to deal with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of.
Well, it just depends. There's something. He's, you know, resigning, and he'll be gone. He's helping us out for another few weeks, but we've got some people that have applied, and so, you know, a little bit, you know, we'll end up with a transition, and that usually means you kind of slow down, and you kind of have to see Normally your summer breaks are more July and August, not May.
Right.
So that's not summer. So I think it'll be driven on what we have to do probably. I mean, that's really what you...
Alonzo, what months are you going to be unavailable?
None. I'm going to be here. I'll be available
You're
for
okay.
all months. Yes.
May?
May.
Yeah, I should be here in June. Why?
Next month I'll be gone. So we'll be here until
September. May?
Yeah.
Donald?
We don't have plans made yet that far in advance.
Well, maybe I should be talking earlier.
That's right.
I can make everything myself. I plan my calendar around. I cut my vacation time down just for you.
Good. I would recommend to the doctor
that we cancel the meeting for May. We cancel May because there'll only be three of us here. And then resume at a normal time Wednesday. And if vacations come up that we don't know about or plan about, Patty can adjust that without any problem. That agreeable with everybody?
Yes, that's fine with me.
If we have something come up that we need you, we just have a special.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. So would you put down no meeting next month?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Any comments, starting with Donald Duck?
Nothing. I think we did a pretty good job.
Yes, I think so.
I'm good.
You're good?
Fine.
Good?
I have nothing more to say.
Okay. I do have a lot of questions about the... First off, I think the medical marijuana rules that we've passed and this that we're going to send to council covers this really good. I think that covers this really good. We've got all the rules in place. We've got the locations in place, the license in place. That's good. I like that. It's worked out real well. I think we're way ahead of the game. Of course, the big one coming up is that other one, but we'll talk about that. And as far as this goes, I have some serious questions about accessibility. I do not like the entrance and exit in front of the school. I don't like that at all. That's a 25-mile-an-hour zone back there, 24 hours a day, and there ain't nobody in this town except for me that drives 24 miles an hour. And I'm really afraid that after this thing is built, I don't want it to look like what we got out here, because it is right in the edge of our downtown, let's call it. And it's, you know, a lot of people that I've talked to, particularly at the senior center, don't like the idea of having apartment buildings across the street, which that doesn't really matter because, you know, we're going to do what we want anyway. But the sooner we can have a good discussion, the better.
Why do they not want apartment buildings?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what they tell me. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe they like to look at the trees. I don't know.
Well, they didn't say anything when we rezoned the property, did they?
No. They didn't know about it either.
No, they did know about it.
Yeah, and that's what I thought.
They were notified. Well, certain individuals may not have known that.
I know.
But the main people knew.
Hey, I want you to know from dealing at the senior center, you're not dealing with normal people. You're not dealing with normal people. Those people don't think like a human being. They're an entirely different world. And I've
Are
dealt
you
with
discriminating
for a long time.
Against the elderly? Is that what you mean?
Maybe I'm the one that's out of step. But I tell you, they're different.
I will accept the motion to adjourn, please.
So moved.
I'll second that motion.
Any further comment, discussions, ideas, or criticism? We'll have a vote on adjourn.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, we'll keep that. Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Mm-hmm. Approved. Yes.
Yes.
Norman Klein, aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Make that message for you. Bring your own good dog.